I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm Matt Rossi. I am your host again this week after my brief descent into Tartarus, where I languished for a week and am now returned.
I sent him on a fetch quest.
Yeah, the world of the living, unfortunately. For me, it's the world of the semi-living with a lot of coughing and feeling bad. But regardless, the world of the living. And with me, of course, are the two people who single-handedly saved the show last week. Well, I guess double-handedly.
Quad-handedly, because there's, I don't know.
Yeah, they say single-handedly, even if there's, you got two hands. So I'm assuming it's just handedly counts for both hands. Regardless, however, that happened last week. And now we're into this week where a whole bunch of things are sort of going on. But at the same time, those things are not necessarily as up-to-date as we had hoped for. We'll say one thing that we just found out, I think today, because you said the thing that was, the news is coming Tuesday, and today is Tuesday. The Warcraft Rumble news is out?
Yes, we now have a release date for Warcraft Rumble, which is November 3rd.
After BlizzCon?
That's the first day of BlizzCon.
Okay, so literally during BlizzCon, okay.
Literally during BlizzCon. I feel like that's a weird time to do the release, but...
bold move. Let's see how it works out for them.
It is a bold move. I mean, I'm worried that Blizzard has been doing a lot this year that's kind of cannibalizing the enthusiasm for their game by, like, doing things at such a rapid pace, and it's, like, releasing something and then immediately announcing the next something, and you have trouble getting hyped for things because it's like, oh, this new cool thing is here, and you have, like, 20 minutes for it to be the new cool thing, and then they've announced the next cool thing. So, I mean, I can see that maybe this is going to be a little problematic because... you know, we're going to have all eyes on BlizzCon. Whether you're there or not, you're going to be laser focused on BlizzCon. And this game is going to come out, but, you know, I don't know that I'm going to play it. I probably won't during BlizzCon. And because it's BlizzCon, they're probably going to immediately announce something cool that's coming up.
We're probably going to talk about that at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it is a strange time. And I mean, unless they're hoping to have some kind of big events at BlizzCon for people to play it, and they're hoping to use BlizzCon to actually get people focused on it. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's a great idea. I'm just saying, sitting here right now in my, you know, in my I don't work in games design field hat on, that's what makes sense to me. Is that they're like, well, people, you know, BlizzCon's like this giant fire-breathing radioactive dragon that attacks Tokyo every so often. People pay attention. And also, I've been watching a lot of Godzilla movies, apparently.
And BlizzCon does appear to be, like, it's going to be more focused on social things because they posted a map of the convention center, and it looks like they're doing all or most of the panels on one stage. Like, they're going to have one big stage, and that's where your big panels are. And then a lot of the other spaces appear to be dedicated.
That's a weird choice. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I can only say they haven't released an official schedule. I can only say that's what it looks like, looking at the map. Like, you're going to have announcements here, and then you have, like, gameplay demos and social events and experiences. Blizzard just talked about having this be a more experiential BlizzCon with things to do and activities. So... Yeah, so it could be that there's Warcraft Rumble stuff, like Warcraft Rumble tournaments and Warcraft Rumble, come up here and play with your friends. Warcraft Rumble will have guilds. It will have raids. Today they also mentioned that the first raid is going to be Molten Core, which is like a series of 7 maps that you have to play through with a guildmate, which guilds are a little weird in Rumble because they're like a maximum size of 15 people, which is one, a strange number, and two, kind of small. It's kind of it's a little limited.
It's sort of in line with like other mobile games that have like guilds or clans that sort of like limit it down. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll just have to see how it flows, because I did play in the beta. Super fun game. I really enjoyed it. But right now it's not, we don't have access to it. Unless you live in Canada, Matt, you could be playing it. You could be playing it right now if you so wanted, because it's soft launched.
Yeah, I do live in Canada. That's true. However, this
I don't know if you care about mobile games.
It's not that I don't care or uncare. It's just, yes, they exist. And
this is also the era of constant games. There are so many games right now demanding our attention.
Literally, my wife is like, my wife's over on one side playing Paleo Pines, which is like the fact that I am here now talking to you guys and not obsessively staring at Paleo Pines as she plays it is proof of my love and devotion to this whole podcast idea, because it's a dinosaur game. There's dinosaurs, and she's playing it on her Switch, and there's dinosaurs, and she's riding a dinosaur, and she just tamed a T-Rex. This is killing me. It's killing me dead. But to get to something that you mentioned in the email, because I was actually looking at this, the Warcraft Rumble tie-in event in World of Warcraft, where there are actual arcade machines. I want to try and catch this up for people. And I'm going to say right now, I don't know that I understand it. Go ahead.
Let me take one step back. The entire concept of Warcraft Rumble, it has a backstory that I feel is excessively complicated and not really important, but it does have, someone's put some thought into this backstory. And the idea of Warcraft Rumble is you would be going up to like a game machine of some kind, and you would pick up, like, the game machine has these little miniatures that it pulls up for you, and you put your miniatures where you want to on the play space, and they come alive. So, but it has this idea of these miniatures put on a game board. And so that's kind of reflected in the art style of it, that has some of them have, you know, kind of a worn look, but kind of the exterior story of this game is that it's like an arcade game, sort of fantasy arcade thing that you're playing with miniatures that you get out of a like video game machine of some kind. So it kind of fits into the Warcraft thing, where there are like vending machines of mini figures.
Yeah, literally what they seem to have done here is taken the backstory Liz just mentioned and are literally putting it into World of Warcraft as a series of quests to range around the world and find the minis from the arcade machines and get the special ones, which will then be good in some fashion. This is like, they have special Rumble coins and Rumble foils, and the foils are like special Rumble miniatures with special skins on them. If you've played a trading card game, you know kind of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like your special magic card with the special foil on it, whatever.
I feel called out.
Yeah, before that, it was comic books that would have like a special foil cover. It's something along those lines. And there's a whole host of achievements. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. There's 17 achievements that I can see just looking at this post that you can earn. And one of the headers is actually called "To the Victor Go the Foils." So yeah, they're leaning on this, guys. And it's like, these are kind of cool little miniatures you can find. I'm not sure, like, they've actually got what looks to be statues that you can see somehow in the game. Like,
I believe
screenshots,
they're toys.
Yeah.
I believe they are literal toys.
From the toy box, yeah.
They're toys, yeah.
But I mean,
it's kind of similar to what they did with the stuff that we used to collect from Mechagon.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But regardless, they're kind of cool. They look... Looking at the way they're going to look in game, they don't look they've done something to them to make them look more like the Warcraft like Rumble versions of themselves than they normally do. Like they've made the them cartoonier and a little cell shadedy looking. The real slim cell shady. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry, but regardless, like there's one of a goblin in his goblin harvester, and they've got him in front of an actual goblin harvester, so you can see that the goblin harvester from Rumble is significantly cooler looking, that sort of thing. I don't know if it's true. Just an example to make people be like, oh, the art in Warcraft looks bad now. I don't know if that's what they're doing. Regardless, they've got this event. You go in, you can play Warcraft Rumble in WoW. I'm not entirely sure what you can do with these machines.
I don't think you can do anything with them. They're
just a hub. Yeah, they're just there in the world. Kind of like how when Hearthstone was first released and you could go places in the world and find Hearthstone boards. It's very similar, except you can click on these ones and interact with them. And that's about the extent of it.
And it's there's a treasure hunt aspect to it where, there are seven figures to collect. So you have to find these coins, these Rumble coins scattered across the world. And then you take the coin to your Warcraft Rumble vending machine and you get one of the miniatures. And then you have to find the foils that give your miniatures unique appearances. So there's a scavenger hunt element to it also.
Yeah, one of the achievements is literally upgrade Maiev twice. So you have to upgrade Maiev twice. Like you get her up to her perfect, the super platinum foil version, whatever. They have there's the achievement for getting all seven, then there's one for upgrading all seven once, then there's one for upgrading all seven twice. And then each individual one seems to have an upgrade it once, upgrade it twice type thing. Like, for instance, Maiev and Sneed. But then there's like Night Elf Huntress and Stonehoof Tower, Torin, and Undead Ghoul, Murloc, Whelp Egg. Upgrade Whelp Egg is hilarious to me. I don't know why. Just the idea you have to upgrade the Whelp Egg, upgrade it once, then upgrade it again. It's an egg. Yeah. And apparently you can just play as a Whelp Egg and Bull Item. Yeah, it is interesting that this is happening. It is happening.
I mean, and I don't think they announced an end date for it. So, if you feel like scavenger hunting and collecting, it's out there for you. And if you don't, ignore it. Move on with your life.
Yeah, it's relatively easy to ignore if it's not your thing.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just like any of the current holidays, really. I mean, even the ones like the Noble Garden ones or, the Fire Festival or, whether you have to travel around and talk to ancestors or travel around and look at bonfires or travel around and do whatever, they're real easy to skip. Just don't do it. It's not like you get some candy if you do some of them. That's basically it. It's really not that big a deal. I just think this is kind of interesting just because it is, it smacks of somebody in a room somewhere, bolting out of sleep going, corporate synergy. What happened, dear? I don't know. I dreamt of a game inside of another game that we were making. And we took the game we were making and we made it into the game that it has as its own backstory in another game. Dear, you've been up too long. I know. I'm sorry. But, that's kind of what happened. It's Gameception. Like, he has to stop and check to see if the little Warcraft Rumble figure he has on his desk is spinning. And if it is, he's insane because they're not real yet. And they're, I'm sure they're going to sell. They're going to sell these things at some point.
Oh, yeah,
right?
100%.
Yeah, these things are, like, built. This is, like, screaming to become. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, they've done stuff like this in the past where they had blind boxes for minis and things like that because they're.
They've done that at.
At BlizzCon.
They've done that at BlizzCon, yeah.
But they also, they've done it with at stores, too, because I'm staring at, literally, I have a Genji, I have a Treasure Goblin, I have a little tip miniature Sylvanas, like, just chilling on my shelf that I got from game stores, because they were, like, a tie-in product that you literally could just get, and they're, like, little chibi versions, but, like, same principle. If Warcraft Rumble does well, I can legitimately see them doing this and making a physical product out of it, but not in as much as some people are going to be like, oh, they'll make a miniatures game. They dirty did a board game. They have a board game with a ton of miniatures. You can go find it. It is massive. I don't think they'll ever do that again.
I just thought that they would sell them. Like,
but they'll sell them as collectibles. Yeah. If it does well, I think that is definitely not outside of the realm of possibilities.
So yeah,
well, I want to jump in here and add something that I don't think was on our list to talk about, but we're talking about BlizzCon, and Blizzard actually kind of did a surprise round of BlizzCon ticket sales last week. Friday at noon, they released more BlizzCon tickets, and I just looked up the webpage. There are still BlizzCon tickets available for purchase as of the recording of this podcast. That's which I wonder about this. I wonder both about the last minute nature of it, because we're when they released these, we're about 5 weeks out. Mm-hmm. Now we're about 4 weeks out, and that's really late for people travel plans.
I honestly think that what happened is that the last mm-hmm. when they were doing the original sales for this BlizzCon, mm-hmm. They did it pretty far out and they only did two events and then they were done. And I think that they didn't realize that that was just too restrictive for some people to manage.
Well, see, I felt like that we had ticket sales a little late and all of these come a little late. Am I totally off base there?
I think these ones are late. I just think the original ones going back a couple months ago, I don't think those were late. And mm-hmm. I think that this is more like what they did at previous Blizzards. But at previous Blizzards, they told you up front that this was coming. They didn't just spring it on you on Friday or whatever.
Yeah, they announced the ticket sales on Thursday. They went on sale Friday at noon. And they're still there. And I do wonder, BlizzCon tickets have taken some time to sell out. It hasn't been...
I don't know you guys, but I'll just throw this out there. It would have had to be differently set up for me to even think about going.
We were talking about this the other day in Guild, actually. Actually, last night, as a matter of fact, weren't we, Liz? I know you weren't there. Sorry. It's not set up in a way that really is good for people with disabilities right now, or mm-hmm. People that maybe can't travel because of health reasons. And it also seems like a much more demure con from what it is, like with all the social interaction being like the highlight. So it feels almost like there's less to do than previous BlizzCons, at least on the tin, at least from what it is there. So I'm wondering if this is just a combination of a bunch of leftover tickets and not actually necessarily them opening more up for ticket sales, right? Like, I'm wondering if this is, we didn't sell out like we usually do. It wasn't a fight to mm-hmm. claw through, because everybody I know that has wanted tickets has gotten tickets.
Like, yeah.
Pretty easily, unlike previous years where like we used to have shifts, and I remember when we would be in staff chat, like coordinating who's in the queue, what's your position, how many tickets can you grab, whose names are we putting on it? Like it was like a raid event, right? Like you were treating it like a final boss, and now it's just kind of like eh. And I think we're starting to see maybe what we were talking about a year ago at this point when we were talking about the possibility of BlizzCons, which is, I think less people are willing to go due to, you know, the constant health concerns that are still out there plaguing us. I think that the con needs to have a really good value proposition. So for people that are willing to travel, it's not there for them, at least not right as it's being billed. And maybe their core audience is getting to a point in their life where they either can't, because we're all still recovering financially because of the last, you know, mm-hmm. 3 years, waving my hand here. Or 4 years. Oh my God.
You know, I'm hard about it.
You know, or just have other obligations that they need to take care of. So I don't know. It's interesting.
The first BlizzCon they had was, I believe, before the launch of the Burning Crusade. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what, 18 years ago, 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, you know, you had the players who were super enthusiastic and were there for that BlizzCon and were so excited. You know, we're all nearly 20 years older now. We have jobs. A lot of us have kids. And the people who don't have kids have 3 or 4 cats. So, you know, it's you.
And a you dog. Wind up I have a dog as well.
Dogs, cats, lizards, snakes, rabbits, everything. Everything.
I do have all those things.
But the point is that we all have responsibilities. Pack up and make a run for BlizzCon because BlizzCon is so exciting. And at the same time, the people who do have that kind of free time, if you're like a college kid who's really into to Blizzard games and you really want to go to BlizzCon, tickets are $300.
Yeah, they increased the price on it quite a bit.
You know, if you want a room at the Marriott, which is right next to the hotel, you're probably paying at least $500 a night. So prices are geared towards someone who is reasonably affluent. You know, you have extra cash to spend and throw around to be able to travel there, to pay for the ticket, take the time off, and to stay in a hotel within a 5-mile radius.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I remember when I first went to one of the first BlizzCons, and I forgot which one it was. I think it was like the second when I didn't get to the first one. But like airfare from the East Coast to the West Coast round trip was like $240, $250. I stayed at a hotel for $40 a night and split it with somebody.
Oh my God.
And I was like literally two blocks away from the convention center. And then compare it to what prices are this year, plus the cost of food and inflation and everything else. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely just it's a monumental financial undertaking to go and do that. I think it's also very telling, too. Like we talk about the ticket sales. Go look at hotels that are still very available around that area. Like the close ones are still plenty available, whereas in years past, they'd be booked before BlizzCon tickets ever went on sale.
Yeah, I think to a certain degree, it was just the fact that nobody knew for sure that we were even having BlizzCon until relatively late. Like it wasn't something that people knew and could rely on. So people were like trying to figure out, how am I going to get time? How am I going to get someone to either watch my kids, or am I going to have to bring my kids? Like what's going on with that? You know, there's a whole ton of that kind of thing happening. And at the same time, like nobody really knows what this BlizzCon is going to be.
Yeah.
Because it's the new direction, but no one said, you know, what does the new direction entail exactly, guys? Like, what are you asking me to pay for?
And Blizzard is really, it's pretty normal for Blizzard to announce the schedule very late. But right now, when they're asking for more money up front for tickets, more travel is more expensive, hotels are more expensive, all of these things are more expensive. It's harder to go to BlizzCon than it's ever been. And I don't pin all of that on Blizzard. I'm not blaming Blizzard. I mean, it's expensive to throw an event. I can understand ticket prices increasing, but it's just a much bigger deal to travel across the country and pay for all of this.
Yeah. And let's say when we're saying across the country, for some people, it's across the planet.
Yeah.
There are people traveling from Europe. There are people who are traveling from Asia.
I mean, I was going to say, I have friends. Like I remember meeting friends from, who came in from Europe, or, you know, shout out to Sarasa, because I know she still listens, but like, you know, she flew all the way from Australia, right? Like, and that's not a short trip.
Like, no, we had a question a while back that we didn't get around to answering, unfortunately, but it was basically saying, look, my wife and I just found out that the BlizzCon, you know, doing this and that, and we have kids and they're not going to have any kind of, there's no way to like have any place for the kids to be watched. There's no, put the kid here for an hour so you can go do stuff. I can't leave my kid behind for like, you know, the weekend. And in the past they had something, but now they don't, there wasn't really much for us to say. Yes, they don't have that. I mean, what were we going to answer this with? We don't know why they didn't, you know, why they changed it.
It feels like, you know, the audience playing a lot of these games has gotten older, but the type of convention they're throwing has not evolved with that, because that is something a lot of people have kids. There's nothing for the kids to do while they're there. I mean, are you going to go send them off to Disneyland by themselves? Probably not.
Not if you want to see them again.
So, I mean, it becomes a problem because we are all older, getting older, and we have responsibilities. So BlizzCon ticket sales 5 weeks before the event, it's like, I can't drop everything and spend $500 to get a plane ticket to LA and spend $1,000 on hotel and spend however much on food and
500 500 covers me going from New York to Carolina and back. Like if I'm going from here, and I have like a major international airport, like it's not like a small, like when I live in a major city, I live in the second largest city in New York, like flying out of here isn't that expensive usually. Like I'm looking at like $700-$800, maybe if I'm lucky. Like that's just a lot. I just can't do it. Like, I mean, I could, but I can't. I can't justify it. It's just too much.
I could have done it had I had more time to plan this out.
Yeah,
or more understanding of what I was doing.
If you had notice of that, then you could start. You know, if you were doing this 6 months ago, you could think, okay, I can budget a little this month, and I'll buy tickets in advance. So I'll buy the plane tickets early. I'll use some credit card. You know, you could.
Do you know how many guitars I can buy with the price of my travel alone?
But the flip side of this, besides the fact that it's really expensive, hard to plan for, it's hard to do last minute, is that Blizzard announces the schedule really late.
Yeah.
And we just don't know what's going to be there. Blizzard has increased the prices. They've said this con is going to be different, but they haven't told us how. And they haven't sold the convention.
Yeah, because they didn't think they had to. In the past, the biggest problem has been keeping stuff from leaking.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, they've managed to successfully keep stuff from leaking to the point where we don't know what the convention is going to be about. So there's not much discussion because nobody... Are we going to get an announcement of the next expansion for WoW? Are we going to get an announcement of the next patch for WoW? Because maybe there's not going to be another expansion right away. Maybe this one's going to be a 2-year like all the other ones. Mm-hmm. Like, are we going to hear about this survival game they're supposedly working on? Is there going to be an Arclight Rumble party or something? Like, what's going on with that? What are you doing with Heroes of the Storm? See, are you going to bring that back?
And this is something where I think convention and Blizzard would do well to do this for next year. I think once again, they need to stop focusing on the physical event and maybe mm-hmm. save that overhead and put it towards making a better online event with optional in-person stuff that happens around there as well. Mm. Like the convention center is not cheap, right?
Nope.
And over the years we saw it go from 2 halls to 5 halls, which every time you add a hall, that's even more space. Plus, you have to they run out the space for the outside part for the ticket portions and everything else. Like, it does cost them a lot of money, plus paying all the people to be there because, you know, you pay your employees. I think that this should be a good impetus, maybe with the slowdown in sales for tickets, to really look at enhancing an online or remote experience for players, especially those that, like, we talk about the folks that sent us the question about, you know, childcare and the fact that there's not any of those options anymore where there was in the past. Then they don't have to worry about it nearly as much. It also benefits because now you can have parents introducing their kids to some of the more exciting parts of, you know, in this case, Blizzard, and what they do and why it's so, you know, hype, and you're helping yourself get another generation of gamers. Like, mm-hmm. I think they need to start looking at enhancing the online experience and enhancing the online community. Like, there are festivals and other conventions that do parallels with it, where, like, there's, like, an IndieCon where, like, and Steam Next Fest and stuff like that, where, yeah, it's like a virtual con, but then you get to play all the games, and they have things like social events and gatherings leveraging technology in order to, like, bring people together and get them hyped about what they're doing for smaller games or things like that. You can't tell me that if Blizzard enhanced their online experience for BlizzCon to, like, give us something similar to that, give us something meaty and something to sink our teeth into, and then release a schedule way earlier than they have in the past, where, like, here's all the wonderful things that are going to be available, and maybe even charged 80, 90, 100 bucks for a virtual ticket. If the value was there, you can't tell me people wouldn't do it, because I think they would.
I do think part of the problem here is that BlizzCon has always been a convention that punches way out of its weight class.
Oh, 100%.
Mm. You know, this is essentially, on paper, this is a hobby convention for one game publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's been selling out for years, the fact that enormous crowds show up, the fact that they can use up the entirety of that convention center is, to a certain degree, because Blizzard just, you know, the whole Blizzard mystique deal, the idea that Blizzard just literally was punching out of its weight class. It was taking a convention that on paper really shouldn't be much bigger than, it certainly shouldn't be bigger than Gen Con, and it's not. Gen Con's enormous, but it's big enough to disrupt an area. It's big enough that the Anaheim Convention Center expanded twice, you know, for it. You know, think about that. The Anaheim Convention Center does not really have another client to justify this expansion that they've been going through over the years. And
Disney does D23 there every year. That's pretty big.
That's very big.
They do it because it's not like Disney doesn't have convention centers of its own it could do them at. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like it's a convention center that's a block away from Disneyland. Of course they're going to use this one.
It's fair. This is a fair point, but still, we all know that they didn't expand the convention center for Disney because Disney was perfectly happy with the convention center that they had.
Yeah, for sure.
To my mind, BlizzCon is such an anomaly that it is hard to figure out, is this just course correction?
There is maybe a little bit, but
people realizing, you know, hey, I really can't afford to keep going to this thing every year.
See, but I don't know about that, because then there's another game company that does a very similar thing every year with Adepticon, and it's essentially devoted to Games Workshop, more or less.
Yeah, but Games Workshop is another anomaly in the gaming industry that we don't have time to talk about. But in terms of like that convention, I think Warhammer fans are the perfect storm of people you can just rely on to just keep coming back. And I think Blizzard may have actually made themselves no longer in that category. I don't think Blizzard can count on its fans like it used to be.
And part of that, I think, is also just from the years of, and let's be honest, not calling it bad press minimizes everything, but like the rightful scrutiny of what they've been doing as a company and a culture.
The past 3 years of what's been reported and what people have heard about, and the past decade plus.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the fact that BlizzCon was the site for a lot of the things that are currently being the subject of major lawsuits.
Oh, yeah.
And people who are no longer working at Blizzard and even haven't been working at Blizzard for years have been mentioned. There's just a lot of fallout from this that we still haven't gotten to really see. I think to a certain degree, the Microsoft deal kind of obscured that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's what they were hoping would happen. But regardless, people don't, just because no one's talking about it anymore online, like there aren't sites aren't devoting all their time to it, doesn't mean that people don't talk about it or remember it. And when it comes time to make that ticket purchase, I mean, it is something that's going to be in your head.
100%, especially if you were close to those situations and, you know, or knew somebody that went through anything like that, like that weighs on you too. And we've discussed this at length with, like, sometimes it's hard for you to even continue to support the company and play the games because of stuff like that, let alone travel halfway across the world to go attend one of their events where multiple of those bad memories were made, right? Like it's a thing. It's a factor.
There's a lot of different aspects to this particular thing happening. So, we got a lot more to talk about.
Though. Yeah. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
that was a whole journey.
Yeah.
Well, there's more.
We could talk more about this, in depth.
I suppose the end of this conversation is that BlizzCon tickets are, as of this recording, actually still available. And if you do want to make last minute BlizzCon plans, go for it. It's there. It's going to be an interesting experience this year. It sounds like they're doing something different, and I'm really curious as to what's going to be on the show floor, but I can't afford it this year. That's out of my budget.
Yeah. Not the year you're moving. No,
you moved
cross country.
Like without paying movers of any kind, without paying to move any items, I could afford to go to BlizzCon, but I can't.
Just give up all my stuff. That's fine. I don't need my things.
No big deal. No big deal. I'll just pack my clothes in the back of my Honda. They're done.
There's a various bunch of stuff that I'm going to mention relatively quickly, because it's basically just stuff that's going to be ending at a certain point. Like Brewfest is ending on the 6th of October, which I think that's in 3 days as we're recording this. That's in World of Warcraft. WoW Brewfest ending on the 6th. Overwatch 2's anniversary event, its first year operating, that ends on the 9th of October. That's
I can play that now.
You know, can you? That's awesome.
Yeah, after a year of complaining about it, they fixed it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. Squeaky wheel gets to squeak some more until such time as finally somebody brings some grease along. On the 19th of October, we've got the Vermilion Weapon Bundle from Amazon Prime Gaming. That's ending on that day. So right now, until the 19th, you can still get that. Watch yourself. Actually, you just got to hook up your Amazon Prime account. There's the Overwatch Mercy Owl skin, which I got to say up front, looks like she's become a Batman villain.
I love that skin, actually.
That's not a criticism.
So I've been playing a lot of, like, just real random aside, I've been playing a lot of support because it's the easiest role for me to get back into, like, with the game and go quick play. I have a ton of Mercy skins. I'm only using the Owl skin. It is so good. I do feel like I'm in, like, a Christopher Nolan Batman film.
Yeah, seriously, it's like I keep thinking to myself, this is what they would do with Owlman if they were going to put Owlman in.
100%.
But yeah, Overwatch Mercy skin, that's Amazon Prime Gaming as well. There's also the Zipao Tiger. That's a pet, not a mount. You can get that through Amazon Prime Gaming as well, and that's to the 24th of October. Meanwhile, in World of Warcraft itself, we've got the Turbulent Time Waves event. Week one has just ended. Week two has just begun. What's this week's time walking? Do you guys know?
I forgot which one it is. I think it's Kata?
Well, whatever it is, basically...
No, Kata was last week.
Kata was last week. I don't know because...
Burning Crusade. It's Burning Crusade.
Cool. Thank you. So basically, every week, they're resetting to a new time walking event. One of WoW's various expansions will now be showcasing some of its dungeons in time walking. And you can go and do that and get yourself some neat loot, including if you do, I think it's at 4 or 5 in a week.
Five.
Okay. If you do 5 in a week, you get, I think it's heroic current raid loot. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you can get some heroic current raid loot, which is pretty nice because that's the whole, Aberrest raid loot, which is nice because, we got another raid coming fairly soonish. I think next month at this point.
Real soon.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
And hopefully.
You're right. Next month is November. Next month is November. How did this happen?
I will point out to you that the Turbulent Time Waves event will be ending right around the time BlizzCon comes.
Yes.
It'll be, I think, the week after. So, yeah, that's all happening. The Turbulent Time Waves event, that's going until the 30th of October. On the 4th of October, which is tomorrow as we're recording this, but it will be sometime in the past after you hear it, they're going to be doing a Diablo 4 dev live stream, which is going to talk about season 2, including new stuff you can do with your pony. They mentioned that specifically in one article I read, and I was like, I like ponies. So that's happening in 2 hours. I'm going to take a moment here to very, very heartfeltly say to the Diablo 4 team, please, God, please have somebody write this down. Just have somebody there. Just hire a stenographer, please. I'm begging you. And I'm back.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun to see developers on stage who really enjoy talking about their games. Great to see that, energy and see what they themselves have to say about it. But sometimes it's like, okay, I'd like to know what's happening and I just want to read it so that I know what it is and I can see it in front of me with my eyeballs and I don't have to listen to you talk for 2 hours.
Yeah. It's not even that I don't particularly want to watch the live stream or anything. It's that I know I'm going to get asked the same questions 85,000 times. And I would really like it if I could just point people to this so I don't have to go and try and watch it again to remember exactly what they said.
Or, even it's good for us to have reference material as people covering this news so that it's because to fact check things about this, you have to go and listen to the whole thing because sometimes they say different things about the same thing in different places in the stream. And when you have a stream that is so long, it can be really hard to keep track and to keep the message straight.
Please hire a stenographer, please.
And that problem, it's like a game of telephone. They have a stream and then I listen to the stream and I hear one thing. That one thing gets imprinted in my brain and I write it down on the website as the thing that's imprinted in my brain, which may not exactly match the phrasing that they used in the live stream. And then someone else reads that and they say, this is what you said, but they kind of interpret it differently than the way I typed it. And they say something else to their friends. And before you know it, the actual message is like a mile away from what it actually is because Blizzard has not been very good at writing down Diablo information. Tell us.
I don't think we have anything further to add on this subject. We'll see what comes out of the live stream when it's here. I am interested to hear about season 2. I'm hoping they've made a few changes to make season 2 feel a little bit more approachable because of, it was very hard for me to justify doing more season 1 at the same time that, the various games that I've been playing have also come out. It's been very hard. I still do play once or twice a week just because sometimes my brain boils up with hatred and I need to smash things with a hammer. But regardless, it's been hard. Finally, on this, we've got two things. One is that Liz mentioned that from the 4th until the 17th of October, we're going to have the Eastern Kingdoms Cup. So that starts tomorrow as we're recording this, and it's going to last until about 2 weeks. From the 4th to, the 4th to the 11th, that's 1 week. And from the 11th to the 17th is almost the second week. So yeah, about 2 weeks. That's cool. It's another one of those dragon riding things going on in the original World of Warcraft world. I'm super curious to see how the Eastern Kingdoms is approached as a dragon riding locale, for lack of a better word. But that's what that's happening there. And also, the October WoW trading posts got Halloween spooky rewards. Specifically, the things I noticed were these three transmogs. They were for DK, Demon Hunter, and Druid. The Druid one is basically just, you know, I'm the most fabulous bear you've ever seen. I think it's supposed to be Moonkin armor or maybe healing armor. I'm up front. I'm not sure. But it's really nice. It's very sparkly. It's like leather pelts, but sparkly. It's actually really... The Demon Hunter one is just straight up, how convolutedly evil can I look? Very convolutedly evil. I'm going to make that green and purple clash in ways you just aren't ready for. And I was not ready for them. So yeah, that A++. The DK one is basically, what if dead but spider? And I think anybody who hears that question is immediately like, whilst you think I'd be yay, dead spider, I am instead, ooh, get dead spider away from me. And that's how I felt about it. And looking at the set, it's a beautifully rendered set. It's three pieces. It's the helmet, shoulders, and belt. Beautifully rendered, lovingly detailed. I never want to see that on anybody. Like, it's, I don't like that. I mean, but I do like it. I think that kudos job, very Halloween-y. Super nice. But yeah, that's, did you guys look at it at all? Did you look at the October stuff? See anything that particularly grabbed you?
I want to get that broom. I mean, there's a broom mount. I am there for it.
I went and
is
got
it like
the
a permanent broom mount.
Yes,
it's a permanent broom mount. Yes.
Okay. But during Hollow's End, it will be instant cast.
That's nice. That's nice. I'm not
the rest of the year. It's going to be a normal cast. Still will be a broom. I'd like to add one small thing, which is kind of tangential to the trading post, which is today World of Warcraft released a new battle pet for sale, which is Little Mags, which is a tiny baby pit lord. That's kind of adorable, actually. I mean, you wouldn't expect that of a pit lord, and you also wouldn't expect a pit lord to ever have been like an adorable baby, but there you go. That's a thing. It costs $10 on the Blizzard shop, but it will arrive in a future rotation of the trading post. So what I'm hearing is that I won't have to spend $10 on it, but it's there. And if you must have it now, it costs $10. It will be leaving the shop on October 31st, but will show up in the trading post in the future. I think it's weirdly adorable. I can't explain it.
It's kind of, also, I should point out that the little KT pet, which you guys remember, the tiny Kelthuzad pet, that's also available in the trading post. Yes, that's also
weirdly
available
adorable
in this month's trading post. So, Joe, you were going to say something?
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, I was also impressed that they gave us the recolor of the Infernal Mount, and I was very, very happy about it, because now I can be a spooky sailor on my, you know, Infernal Mount. And maybe I'll get a little Maggie, and then a little Mags, and... We could be one cute, adorable, spooky family. That'll be great.
Cute, adorable, horror family.
Well, all right. Why did I do that?
I don't know.
God, it just came out of me. Ugh. That must be what it's like to be him all the time. But anyway, we've got a little time, a little bit more than 10 minutes. So I'm going to try and get through some emails. If you've got a question for the show, you can go to our Discord server and go to either the Patreon Q and podcast channel for patrons, and then we'll look at it. We look there first, or the simple Q and podcast questions channel for non-patrons, because we do still look there, guys. We do still care what you guys ask us. We just like to give our supporters a little something because they make all of this possible.
That's true.
We do absolutely look in the other one as well.
You help me buy magic cards. Thank you.
And if you want to email us, you can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast of Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show. Joe likes to tell people to send a pronunciation of their name. And you know what? I'm going to steal that idea because it's a brilliant one.
Please
do.
Please, I beg you.
Us. Yeah. It's very – sometimes you think nothing of your name, but then we're looking at it and going, there's three Z's in this.
Y'all are creative with your names. It helps us. Please, trust me.
Yeah, just you know, a pronunciation guide. If you don't mind me like just doing my best, that's fine.
Shout out to Razorbug.
Yeah, but if you'd rather I actually get it right, a pronunciation guide would be really special. I would love. But yeah, we're gonna just start with the first one here from a longtime friend of the show, Easy Target. Hi, Watchers. Long time no write. With the possibility of exploring more of Azeroth, any thoughts on the people we may find? Sure, misplaced members of the standard races, but what new races, put simply, do you think we could find halflings in our travels? They're the only basic race missing from the lore. Avalor is mentioned a lot and would seem to coincide with Avalon from Arthurian legend and a lesser degree Armor from Tolkien. Yes, Hobbiton is in Eriador, but this area kind of hugs Armor. A third gnome offshoot? ? Methinks hobbits would be precious. I should have gone, methinks hobbits would be precious. But I didn't want to, so I didn't. That's from Easy Target. Trolls who can go into sunlight. I often do the thing I don't want to do to show people that I didn't want to do it. I don't know why that is. It's like the McConaughey thing. Sometimes my brain just
listen. Sometimes I Matt mean, continues I, on and does the thing. Sometimes he turns into a 1940s prospector, or 1840s mm-hmm. prospector. Sometimes he turns into Matthew McConaughey. It just happens. We just accept these things.
We don't know
who I applaud your skills,
but yeah,
I'm a little confused, but I still applaud it.
Hobbits. Should they happen? Will they happen? Could they happen? I'm going to throw this one to Joe because Liz probably doesn't care.
Okay. Maybe. So gnomes in WoW sort of fill that same gap. Like, unlike D&D, where gnomes are just absolutely ridiculously tiny, they are small creatures. Halflings are medium. So they're still, you know, sort of in that
category. No, halflings are small.
Halflings I thought were medium.
Nope, they're not. They're small.
Mm. Okay, someone get out the book. Yeah. Someone get out the book.
I'm literally looking over. I'm going to keep He's talking anyway. Wow, I'm all thrown off now. Yeah, they are 3 feet tall. They are small. I stand corrected. Okay.
I know this because I played a halfling who used my smallness and the ability to be nimble to constantly stand in other people's boxes and hit from them.
Fair.
And then move behind them so that the guy who I was fighting couldn't hit me back.
So I don't think we can go much smaller than what we currently have model wise in game already between, you know, gnomes and Volpera and goblins. They're kind of as small as you can get. And I actually had to race change off of Volpera because I kept getting stuck on things still because the hitbox is very, very small. So I don't know that we'll necessarily see halflings. We might see offshoots of gnomes. Maybe a little bit differently proportioned, maybe some offshoots of humans and things like that, but I don't know. We've kind of already got our lizard people races, and I'm air quoting that because I know dragons aren't necessarily lizards, but they're not dissimilar. We've got our elves, we've got our undead, we've got humans, we've got everything in between that we can possibly think of. I don't know what else we could possibly find, except maybe other variations of things like Firbolg would be cool because Firbolg have been sort of static for a while. So yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? What would be nice for us to see there?
Before I rant on, Liz, do you got anything?
I mean, one thing that Blizzard has tried to do over the years is to paint races as unique silhouettes. And we've kind of fallen behind on that with variant races. Like, the Void Elves and the Blood Elves have really the same silhouette. But Blizzard has always kind of stressed this idea that different races should have, you know, distinct looks. And I think the problem with halflings is, just like you were saying, Joe, this is going to be kind of similar to a gnome.
Yep.
So it's like, what is a race that would be visually distinct, different, unique from other races?
You know what? We had a question a long time ago on Lore Watch. Well, I say a long time ago, but because time is weird. What about hybrid races or half races? Those are the things that we are sort of missing from the traditional fantasy. And I'm air quoting traditional because we have elves, orcs, we have variations of elves, we have goblins, we have undead, we have dwarves, we have gnome / halfling / hobbits. We have our dragons, we have trolls, we've seen ogres, we've seen centaurs, we've seen satyrs, we've seen kobolds, we've seen all variations therein, giants and everything else, but we haven't seen really, we have one instance of hybrid race, right? We have Ronan's kids, right? They're half human, half elf.
And Arator.
and Arator. Those are the three that we have. Maybe see more of them and experiment with like what a dwarf and orc, like what their lineage would look like. Because I think that would be cool. We often compare things to D&D. It's one of the reasons I used to like Dark Sun is because it was kind of challenging what you thought, lineages could be. Right. So like, I would like to see that. Maybe we see an orc and an elf that have decided to commingle and have a family, and or maybe that's what happened there. Or maybe, you know, I don't know. Like, I think it would be much more interesting to start exploring that space than, you know, anything else. I don't know what else we would add otherwise.
I'm sorry, but the entire time this has been going on, I've been sitting here snickering to myself, imagining that they introduce the original, you know, uncorrupted, unseat of flesh gnomes. Like, not mecha gnomes, but the first gnomes that happened out of mecha gnomes. And they're just 6 foot tall gnomes. They're just really tall gnomes.
Those proportions, humans. Just massive.
Yeah, just, well, no, 'cause 6 humans, foot tall gnomes.
Gnomes have different proportions. Oh, yeah. Like,
huge
they're...
head, huge hands, stubby arms. Yeah. Just, but a gnome. It's like a, and it would just be like, they would actually just be gnome with an exclamation point at the end. And that's the whole, like when we did the new trailer, yeah, like gnomes. And they're like just wandering around being huge and just like, you know, mighty warriors. And then like, you know, they come out of their hidden valley that they've been at for, you know, thousands of years. And like, you know, they run face first into humans and be like, they're just spindly usses. What happened? Why are your heads so small? Can you even think in there? They must be dumb, huh? Like, just that's all I've been able to think about is that. Because, you know, they broke my heart when they didn't give us the playable ogres after after Warlords of Draenor. We had, like, smart ogres with their own Roman Empire, and we didn't do nothing with it. I was like, whatever. So, okay, unless Liz has anything else, I'm going to move on to the next one. Okay.
More
I'm
going to
skip this one. I'm going to skip this one because it's one that you then said you actually looked at. You actually answered it in work chat, yeah. So I'm not going to do this one.
Unless Joe has something.
Now, well, if we have time, this one's from Metalzani. Question from the podcast: greetings, possible humans. And I like that he covered his bets.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm fully human. Yeah,
it could be human.
I mean, you're listening to the sound of our voices, but that does not say what exactly we are, what kind of creatures we are.
I'm at least 30% anxiety made manifest.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I'm with you there.
So, I'm sorry, ma'am, but you're gonna have to get in line behind my cat. My cat is so anxious. But anyway, with the time walking event going on, what vanilla dungeons would you want to be scaled for time walking? It can be original or revamped versions. Also, what would the raid be for that week? Liz?
I would like original Skullomance. I ran that dungeon so many times, and you know, it's like you run it so much that you think you never want to go back. Except now that I can't go back, I kind of feel I want to go back. I would like to go to original Skullomance.
All right. Fair point. Do you have a raid to throw in the hat? Or
I think you have to do Molten Core. If you're doing a vanilla time walking, you got to do Molten Core. That's just, it's so old school. And there are so many features of it that would be really annoying in the modern sense. Because it's so gigantic. Just walking across it takes forever. And the bosses are very spread out. I mean, there are lots of annoying features. I think if you're doing a vanilla raid, it has to be Molten. You can't do anything.
All right. That's fair. That's definitely a fair one, in my opinion. Joe, what you got?
Razorfen Crawl and Razorfen Downs. Make them a linked mega dungeon that's done through time walking. We talked about this a little bit on Lore Watch, which you should go listen to. Please just go ahead and do it. And back in the olden days, in the original days of WoW, those dungeons were 10-man dungeons. Until they, you know, decided to go with the 5-man cap for it. So it was, I would love to see them updated or remixed and given the time walking sort of polish and playthrough. I love those zones, but they're ones that players don't get to experience very much anymore. And even post Cataclysm, they're relatively unscathed for where they are in the world. I think those would be really cool things to pull up. As far as dungeons, or sorry, raids go, let's go back to the Temple of Ankaraj. Let's bring back AQ-40 and give it the full polish and treatment. Ankaraj is one of those things that not a lot of people got to experience because it was very high-end content at the time, only to be surpassed later by Naxxramas. Most people got through to the ruins. They got to do AQ-20. AQ-40 was a harder sell for a lot of raids and guilds at the time. And going back to it now doesn't give you that same gravitas of that place. And I think it's one of the coolest places. It was where we got introduced to old gods. It's where we got introduced to, like, you know, the Karaji and sort of like that whole thing. We got introduced to like the War of the Sands and what happened there and the tormenting of the spirits that were left behind. And it's such a huge thing. And the opening of the temple, the opening of Ankaraj was such a huge event. We talked about it when about them doing it on the WoW Classic servers. I'd love to see that again. I'd love to have that, give that polish and playthrough so that players could go and experience it and have fun with their guilds. I personally would love to take some of our guildies who are babies and have never been, I mean, like, they're young. They are absolutely young, and they never did this stuff at level, and introduce them to, like, here's Princess Uhuran. Let's have some fun. Right, like
are you wearing your cloth nature resist booties, Mr. Tank?
But I just think it'd be fun. I think those would be really cool things to bring back and give a polish. I'm done.
Okay. For me, the dungeon is the original Upper Black Rock Spire.
Yeah.
Because I mean, first off, when they took that out, I was really sad because I spent so much time in UBRS farming for the warrior set, seeing pieces of it go to the paladins, getting angry, farming for the warrior set some more.
Fill that in Hunter.
Yeah. And then I remember I was on my alt warrior, not my main, not the one I was tanking in a raid guild with, but my alt, who I was just running around DPSing on for fun. And I was in, I think, Ironforge, standing around in my gear, which was all stuff I'd gotten on my own. I hadn't gotten any of it from raids. It was a crafted helmet, the Lionheart helm, and a bunch of the, you know, warrior tier or the warrior tier upset, the dungeon set or dungeon set 0.5. So there were several there were some epic pieces in there. And I had a Typhoon because I'd gone on an Azurgos kill. And I was standing there just, you know, talking to somebody. And one of my wife's friends actually singled her out, like grabbed her and said, "Hey, what's the deal with that guy in your guild? Like, what, where did you get all that gear?" And she was like, bloody-mindedly running Upper Black Rock Spire every single day for about a year now.
And I think, like, that's oof. That is really what you did at Endgame and Vanilla. Uh-huh. You were always running.
And I had the key.
Spire.
I had the key to UBRS. Yes. So I was basically like, I was guaranteed in because I wasn't letting people in if I didn't get to go. but see, Upper Black Rock Spire is my dungeon because that's gone now. You can't do it. You can still kind of get the sense of it, but no, not like it was.
Yeah, it's not the same.
And just to watch people kite Wurmthalak around would be worth the price of admission. Some poor hunter is like, so yeah, that shoot was him and run away.
That was our hunter initiation for the guild I was in back. That's how you got if you were a hunter and you applied to the guild, because we were like the guild I was in at the time was like a top like tier server first guild. That was your test. Could you properly kite Wurmthalak?
Yeah, can you keep Wurmthalak running around for like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Long enough for us to kill these guys.
And without the healers dying.
Yeah, not the healer's time.
That's the trick.
That would be it. And as for the raid, I think you know, based on the fact that what I said for my dungeon, the raid would be Blackwing Lair. Because in my opinion, just an opinion, and other people have good arguments, I think the Molten Core argument is a pretty strong one, really. And AQ, absolutely. But BWL was the best raid of original World of Warcraft.
I will agree with that.
And I'm willing to die on that hill. Because it had everything you want in a raid. It had the great things that bring you tons of emotion in good times. It had the suppression room, which was the worst thing anyone's ever done.
No. Suppression room was just the reason to bring rogues to a raid. It was fine.
Even our raids hated the suppression room. It had the trash after the boss, after the suppression room, which was unbelievable.
That you could pull through the wall.
Yes, you could pull through the wall, and which would just fireball you to death in so little time. It was just, and then of course, as you're trying to clear that trash, a little dragon will fly in. And then you're like, oh, he's one of the bosses. We have to fight him now. He just flew in.
Why is there another boss here? Wait, what?
Yeah. He could aggro his brother who was upstairs. And there was a third brother that you actually could get if you somehow managed to leash them and then they ran back again. Mm-hmm. This one would come down. I've actually seen a guild attempt to tank all three of them, which, by the way, no. Blackwing Lair is the one I would vote for as the one to bring through time walking because it is the...
About Blackwing Lair, one thing that would be really interesting to having time walking, whenever Blizzard has added a new class, they've given it a new class column, Blackwing Lair.
Yep.
The Netherian fight in Blackwing Lair famously had class calls. He would have a call out for every single class that would do something terrible to you. Just terrible. I remember warlocks would summon infernals on the raid, and
Hunter's what range weapon would break. I still have that macro, by the way, in my macro book.
Druids would shapeshift cat form because at the time that was the worst thing you could do to a druid because they were definitely there to heal. Yep. So that would just be real bad if they were cats. But it would be interesting to see these new class calls in a competitive scaled up environment. So you could go and like really experience the fight.
Well, I know that the Death Knight one is really bad because he death grips the entire raid to directly in front of him.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about tanking a dragon. Yeah. He's tanking a dragon. You're tanking a dragon and suddenly the whole raid is on top of you and you're like, what the? And then he starts swiping away with his massive claws and breathing shadow flame on everyone. And it's not good. That's the Death Knight one. I don't know the Demon Hunter one or the Monk one. I haven't seen those.
The Demon Hunter one, I know you go completely blind. The screen goes black.
That tracks. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Evoker one is hilarious too, for that matter. I don't even know what that would be. One of you guys is here. That's weird. Anyway, join my side and kill these humans. But yeah, that would be my raid is Blackwing Lair. Cause I think Blackwing Lair, I think like for each expansion, I've had one raid that I felt was the quintessential one for me. Like in Burning Crusade, it was Black Temple. In Wrath of the Lich King, it was Ulduar. In Cataclysm, it was probably Firelands. And in, you know, Mists of Pandaria, I wasn't going to raid any of those raids.
I think he turns you, the Evoker one is he turns you into a whelp.
Ah, so that's almost as good.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Evokers, nothing more than pitiful whelps. No wonder my father abandoned your experience.
Yep.
So yeah, that would be mine, would be Blackwing Lair. And so we think we've answered that question. Do we have time for more or are we done?
I think we are at time.
Okay. Sorry, Korn. Maybe we'll get you next week. We'll see what happens.
But I will answer one part of that. I do wear a fancy and funny hat every week on Lore Watch.
Oh, I'm glad you answered that. I was really curious when Korn asked if you wore a hat.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with that one, but...
Do you wear a hat during Lore Watch, Matt?
I'm not going to discuss what clothing I do or don't wear during any of these podcasts because I've been informed that this is too much information. So yes, I will not be talking about this time. I will, however, be looking at Joe, and my eyes are going to grow really big like Puss in Boots in those various clips from Shrek.
Ah, yes. Well, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means this podcast signing community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast for the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you, Joe. And thank you to Liz and Joe for being here, of course. Thank you to all of you for being here. Thank you to my throat to holding up to this point because I could hear you going. And it was a heroic effort to keep working through this entire podcast. I salute you, throat. If you've got a question for the show, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com or use our two Discord channels, Patron Q and Podcast Questions channel, or simply Q and Podcast Questions channel. We'll look at them there and try to get as many of them answered as we can. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you guys very much for being here, and we'll be back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.